It was a stormy night. A cold draft wafted through the creaky house. A light shone in the distance. The TV was on, yet nobody was home. It was Halloween night, and on the screen there was a video game. Welcome to Side Stage Halloween Special. We're going to take you through some dark games, horror, shooter, and other various themes that we have played. Today, along with the usual duds, Keith, Lisa, and myself, we have a special guest. But Keith wants to make a special greeting today.
You've hyped this up far too much, but here we go.
Yeah. You know what? I wish I wasn't surprised.
Okay, it's not what I expected.
We're all broken like 2 seconds into the episode. Spoopy horror games to Key.
Poor Lisa editing my laugh. So, along with the usual duds, as I've mentioned, today we welcome our very special guest and Halloween fanatic, Peter Fahey.
Yay!
Hi, everyone.
Yay!
Nice to be here.
Welcome to the fun
Welcome,
house.
Peter.
So, how are you? Are you getting ready for Halloween?
Doing my best.
Absolutely.
I'm always ready.
with that mask, definitely.
Keith, we can't really take you seriously, and I really hope editing this that this doesn't really ruin your audio.
Maybe later he'll delight us again. So we're going to take you through some Halloween themed or dark or horror games today, and maybe you can also let us know what kind of darker games or horror games are your favorites. But to start us off, why don't we go to our special guest Peter? Why don't you take us through some of your favorite kind of more darker themed games?
Well, I suppose I'd have to start with Resident Evil. And I have been playing Resident Evil for 20 years. Because whenever I got the PlayStation 1, and that was 1998, and one of the first games I got was Resident Evil, because horror games wasn't really much of a genre. I think on the Super Nintendo you had Castlevania and some sort of side-scroller type scary games, but never real terrifying horror game. And one thing I always remember about Resident Evil, do you remember the big massive tarantulas that lifted up their front legs and ran at you? I couldn't get past that part, because I just wouldn't go through. I just wouldn't go through that door. I thought it was a great series. I thought it was a really fantastic series, and I've always been a fan. Up to the PlayStation 3, I got a PlayStation 3.
Okay, because I was about to say, what are your views on Biohazard?
I haven't played that.
Which is the only one I've actually seen the full gameplay of.
It's so good. It's so good.
Is it?
I was going to sort of, whenever it came my turn to talk, I was going to say, ooh, following on from Peter, but since I've now hijacked this,
I'll hijack.
Resident Evil 7 Biohazard is like, I think that was the first one I played.
Yeah.
I think my first experience with it was, because that came out and there was like a whole big deal about this was, oh, it's VR compatible. And like the PlayStation VR was coming out at the time. So I went to like game store called Game, where they were doing like demos in the VR, and they had this demo called Kitchen, which was like a well, you know, like a basically proof of concept type thing of, you know, that Resident Evil will work in VR.
Right.
And I was just sat in the middle of the store with the big thing on, just sort of screaming my wee face off. So then I got the game and played in VR and it was even scarier.
I don't think I could play any horror game in VR, but I feel like that's kind of the quintessential way to play a horror game now, because it puts you in the scenario. I don't know if you agree with that, Pete, but...
Sorry, was that to me?
Yeah.
I just heard someone out the window. I was wondering, are they knocking to come into my house? Like, sorry, what was the question?
That is so perfect for a Halloween
episode.
Maybe
they want to be on the podcast, yeah.
They were just kind of freaky out. Basically, I was just saying that I feel like nowadays VR is kind of the quintessential way to play horror games. And I wasn't sure. I don't know if people agree with that. It's just I've watched quite a few people play horror games in VR, and the reactions you get from them is hilarious.
Well, I did hear that on the PlayStation 4, they have The Exorcist on virtual reality. Now, I'm telling you, I have seen The Exorcist 666 times. I know it inside and out. I can play any role in that film. But I would be very hesitant to put the VR headset on. I wouldn't get past the first room. I would just sit there and not leave. So yeah. I think it can enhance the
experience. Peter, I want to see you like act out every scene, because you say you can. You can. That should be like your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Like, premiere.
No, just be absolutely terrified. No, well, I mean, I think the best thing about horror games is that they're fantastic role-playing games. And if it's done well, and it builds up this suspense, and it's got a really strong narrative, it can really involve you in the way that a horror film would, but it puts you more in the center.
Yeah.
And I think a really fantastic example would be Dead Space, for anyone that's played that, because it's very much like Event Horizon, you know, with that deep space,
okay.
And there's this unknown entity that changes people and turns them inside and out. But the suspense was terrible. Do you know what I mean? It took me so long to go from room to room because I knew there'd be something in there. So I do get scared very easily, but I enjoy the experience.
That shocks me as somebody who loves horror, who kind of is like, I know the horror genre, but it's like, I get really scared playing it. Why do I do this to myself? And that's the reason why I don't play them.
It's just, I just like to torture myself, doing that, but,
Yeah.
A man after my own heart.
So what is Dead Space about? Like, what's the...
Dead Space,
what's the theme?
Similar to Event Horizon, there was a ship, a spaceship that was out into the distant gulf of outer space. And so this other, this Enterprise has to go and find out what happened to it. And it turns out that there's this monolith or this alien entity that can basically turn people inside out and turn them into these mutant creatures. That's very similar to like The Thing. You know, John Carpenter's The Thing, where it's just this absolute mishmash of body parts, and it's really grotesque. And it's set on board a spacecraft, and the graphics are incredible. They're really incredible graphics, and it's quite a scurry, suspenseful soundtrack as well. So I just thought it was a really engaging story. But when it's got that really, you know, gripping storyline, it makes you want to play it and find out more, find out what happened to these you know, the people on the spacecraft. And so I just really enjoyed it, even though it was very terrifying.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like
Wow.
People get that from a lot of horror games. What I actually thought you were going to mention there... kind of in relation to that was the Turing Test, which was a game. Now, it's not a horror, it's a thriller. And it's based on a spaceship and all the crew are missing, you're trying to find it out, but it's a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
And it's honestly one of... I haven't played an awful lot of it because it kind of freaked me out a little bit, because it's very thought-provoking and it's like, this is a little bit freaky. Like, I'm not quite sure where this is going. But it honestly...
Yeah, let's check that out.
It's really intriguing and it's... That's the kind of game that I'm more likely to play, because I'm a little bit more sure that I'm not going to get completely scared out of my wits.
Mm-hmm. more psychological thriller than like...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was another fantastic game as well called The Evil Within, and it looked at all the horror genres.
Oh, yes.
and all the sort of popular boogeymen, and it turned them into each level almost. So there's this sort of Japanese type creature, and then there was like a big butcher, like, you know, what do you call it, like a leather face type of character. So I thought that was a really innovative way to sort of do each level, like, you know, like a slasher, like a horror genre, and again, very, very creepy game.
Yeah, Evil Within, that was...
Okay. It always says, be sure to turn out all the lights before you start playing. Just to enhance the experience.
Of course you will.
Wasn't Evil Within the one that it was made by... Wasn't the guy who either sort of started the entire Resident Evil franchise, or like the director of, I think, Resident Evil 4 or something?
Not sure.
I can't remember, but I remember when I saw the first adverts for that coming out, and I was like... That's a game I'm not going to play. Because I looked at the picture at the front of it and was like, maybe not for me.
Yeah. And so I have a question then, talking about Resident Evil. What's your favourite Resident Evil, Peter, considering you've played like all six of them? What's like the best one in your opinion?
I would say my favorite would be number 3, Resident Evil 3 with Nemesis. And the reason is because I remember I got dumped one time, like I'm full, and
I'm not where I said this story to start.
And I was really devastated. I was completely distraught.
Yeah.
And I went home and I played Resident Evil 3. I must have played it for about 7 hours straight, just to get your mind away from from the breakup.
Yeah. Mm.
And I actually developed a real appreciation for the game after that, because it really does, you know, it really did keep your mind away from all that heartache.
Of course.
But as well as that, I also thought it did have some new innovations, you know, on top of the Resident Evil series. It started to push it outside of the city, you know, and into more of a global, global environment, you know. So that's always got a wee warm spot in my heart, I'll say.
Pete, I feel like we should have had you on the Nostalgic Games episode, because that was basically what we were talking about in that episode.
Yeah. But like, it's interesting how video games could kind of like help you in that way, in like these various areas, like, you know, of your life, like in ways that you don't expect, because it kind of, can either be like just a distraction or like... Yeah, like it's interesting that you bring up like, you know, a horror game getting you through like heartbreak.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Like it's just survival. Do you know what I mean? You just have to keep going through it and just shooting anything that comes at you. And it's just this life or death, you know, crisis feeling. So it was appropriate for the time.
Yeah, definitely. Audience, please let us know what, you know, what horror games have done for you in the past as well.
Yes.
So, okay, amazing. So, who wants to go next then? Keith, you wanted to kind of jump off some of the games that Peter was talking about. So, do you want to expand on any of the ones that you had mentioned?
I mean, there's Resident Evil 7, which I sort of talked a wee bit about, which I played that in, like, or I played, like, the demo of it, sorry. In the store, and I thought, okay, I have to get this game now, this is incredible. And I got it, whenever I got it, I didn't have the PlayStation VR, so I played it through just, you know, 2D, just up on the screen, basically. And absolutely terrifying. Like, I think I had actually played Resident Evil 5, I played the demo of Resident Evil 6, but both of them were very sort of, they're going towards like horror action rather than just straight horror, if that makes sense. Whereas Resident Evil 7 just sort of really brought it back into just, okay, it's you, you're in a house with a bunch of crazies. Enjoy!
Yes, that's on the PlayStation 4, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got to play it a little bit of that. It is very frightening.
Yeah. So like, I got the VR headset thing like halfway through my playthrough of it, so I was like, okay, I've already got this got this far through it, that's how I talk, yes, so let's just finish it as it is. And then I basically, you know, completed it, left it for a couple of weeks, and went back into it with on the VR, and oh my goodness, it is such a different experience.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrifying. Like, there's one boss fight in particular where basically, I can't remember her name, but, like, the mother of the creepy family.
Yeah.
Turns out to be, like, a bug person or something. It's been a while since I played it. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But you go into a house, you're basically armed with, like, limited ammo, but you've got, like, a shotgun, pistol, probably something else, you know? And the whole thing is, she's, like, crawling around the house, like, and she's all, you know, distorted and stuff. And...
Is this the boss that you have to, basically, it's like she has, like, a pregnant belly and you're supposed
that's
to
the
shoot
one.
It?
Yeah, and it's like she just that's fires bugs one at you. Yeah, that's my nightmares. But... I was playing that.
People never
sort
have
of...
kids now because of that.
But I was like, I was finding it hard. Like, I was stuck on the level for whatever reason. I was sort of just creeping along because I kept on running out of ammo. I was like looking around me. It's like, okay, where's she gone? I looked up and her face was just staring at a crack in the roof at me. And I was like, ah,
oh no,
I'm going to delete this game right now. So that is my tale of Resident Evil. And then Resident Evil 8 got announced. That seems to be a sequel, and I'm very excited to play it in VR and also get very scared.
Oh, is it like a direct sequel?
I think so. It seems to be the same character.
Right.
But this one has werewolves instead of slime monsters, so I don't know.
Oh.
But yeah, that's fun.
Gosh.
And what else have I got to talk about?
You were going to...
On the same route as Resident Evil... is Silent Hill. Like, they're sort of, to me, the two big names of horror games. Both of them I haven't really played too much of, to be honest with you. I got the remastered version of Silent Hill 2 and 3, which I got just because I'd heard Silent Hill 2 was amazing. Then I ended up just watching it on YouTube because it's like those old-timey games, but, you know, like where the puzzles are really, really obscure.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The one in particular is PT, which was Kojima's playable teaser for Silent Hills, which I think was supposed to be like a reboot for the entire series. And I remember I played that game without realizing it was a Silent Hills thing. I sort of heard, oh, this is a game, PT, it's absolutely terrifying, you have to play it, and it's free. And I was like, oh, okay. So I downloaded it, and I was sort of like, you start through, you know, you do your first loop. So the whole idea of the demo is like, you're doing loops of a corridor, and spooky stuff happens with every loop, and it's just...
It's freaky.
It is terrifying. So like the first couple of ones, you sort of go... You go through the door, you end up at the same place again. It's like, oh, this is cool. And you do it a couple more times and nothing really happens except for maybe a couple of, like, you know, scary noises or whatever. I was like, okay, is this literally the entire game? And then, like, the fifth or sixth time you go through, you turn the corner and, like, the ghost, who I think is called... She might be called Lisa as well, so that's why I'm slightly always scared of you.
Yay! She's I'm gonna use that to my advantage now. You probably shouldn't have told me.
She's just sort of stood there with like a light, you know, shine on her, and she's like facing away from you, and like she's sort of, again, really distorted, just sort of like that. I don't know. That's the best description I can give of you. I was just stood there staring at her for ages, like, right, you can only go through her. And I don't want to go through her at all. I don't want to move from here. And then eventually, you know, I got up the courage, pressed forward on the stick, and then she just came racing towards me. I was like,
Have you ever seen the Game Grumps play of that, where they literally get to that point? She runs at them, and Dan and someone playing, and he goes, nope, we're done. Episode over. And he starts, like, freaking out. And that's the end of that episode. And they never go back to it.
No, I haven't... watched that. No, I'll have to give it a wee look, actually.
It's so funny because I think Danny's a wee bit like me in that he's like, I appreciate a horror game, but I don't want to be playing it.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I'm watching him, like, that's me.
Yeah.
So what does PT stand for?
That was playable teaser. And then once you sort of got to the end and jumped through a bunch of hoops... which is like, apparently, I mean, I never actually got to see the actual trailer at the end, but you basically got an actual trailer for Silent Hills, which was the game it was supposed to be for. Mm-hmm. So it was supposed to be by Kojima and Guillermo del Toro. I think he was involved with it as well. And it was starring Norman Reedus. And then obviously the whole thing with Konami and Kojima, sort of, they imploded on each other.
Yeah, I know.
And then that game got cancelled, and then he made Death Stranding, which had Guillermo del Toro and Norman Reedus as well. And I think he's talking about doing a horror game next, which I'm absolutely terrified for, but I'm definitely going to play.
I haven't heard anything about it, but I'm sure it'll probably be good.
Yeah, it's probably going to be terrifying. Going on your thing, Lisa, there about like appreciating a horror game but not liking playing it.
Mm. Yep.
That used to be me whenever I was a little baby Keith, and playing the games that there was a reason they were rated 18, which makes it sound a lot more dodgy than I meant it to, but
I would just like to say to Peter at this point, this is usually what happens with Keith on this podcast. Sometimes we have to censor Keith, because sometimes we get a little bit too close to the edge with our humour.
Oh, maybe get a little bit saucy, Keith, is that it?
And then other times I just jump completely off the edge.
And you just never know, you know, when that's going to happen.
Yeah. No. But my sort of game like that was, I can't remember what age it was whenever I got it, but Bioshock, like specifically the first one.
Yes.
Which was sort of, like, I've only actually got around to playing it quite recently. I sort of got it, I played the demo of it, and the demo absolutely freaked me out. And I was like, okay, this is a brilliant game, I have to get it and play it. Then I actually got it. And I played up to as far as the demo went, and then I got too scared to carry on. So that was a waste of money. But
I actually
have
it on like a backlog of games to play, because I have it. I got the trilogy for like maybe £10-15 at my local store. They had all the discs in one thing, and I was like, I'm gonna get this. Why not? I remember years ago my brother telling me, he was like, I think I'm gonna be 15-16, and he was playing the first one, and he was like, you probably shouldn't watch this because it's probably not the game for you, and I don't want to give you nightmares. And it's not, I don't really view Bioshock as a horror game. I think of it more as an action game, but he was like, there is aspects of it that are probably not okay for someone like you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Bioshock as a series is definitely more action than horror, but the first game, and especially like the first, say, 2 to 3 hours, are very horror-y, and that sort of, you know, builds you up with all the guns and stuff in your ground. But yeah.
I think that would be like Devil May Cry. You know, when you look at the very first one, it was meant to be this gothic, you know, this real gothic game, and it emphasized him with the castle and all the monsters. And then it gradually became a real fun action game, because I think that's easier to sell.
Yeah.
And it's a bit more marketable for everyone.
Yeah.
Still fun, though.
Definitely, yeah.
That's interesting.
And then, I've got a couple more. It turns out I like horror. I didn't realise this whenever I wrote this out.
Yeah. He just always likes to talk for as long as he can.
Yeah. I love my own voice.
I think we're like the hosts of the podcast for a reason, guys.
Yeah.
You know, we're the ones who like talking.
But yeah, sort of going back to the VR horror games that we were talking about, there's one...
Oh, I might interrupt you. Are you going to talk about Until Dawn?
Yes. Do you want to interrupt me and then I can talk about the VR one?
Yeah, I do.
Hold on,
yeah.
We can do a good segue to this. There was a VR spin-off to the game called Until Dawn. Shireen, do you want to talk about Until Dawn? And then you can just cut around that and we're good to go.
Keith, do you really think I'm going to do that?
Lisa's
not going to. Absolutely not. I'll be laughing.
So, Until Dawn, oh my god, like, I didn't play this. I watched someone play it.
Sam.
It was, oh my god, like, it's just, so it's, I can't remember how many characters there are?
Six main?
Six, is it?
Hold on. I don't remember the names. There was Mike, who everybody hated. There was the blonde fella. There was obviously the guy that, the guy that Rami Malek played.
Oh yeah, Malek.
Then
yeah,
there
yeah,
was
yeah.
Mike's ex-girlfriend and the boy that she brought. Jess, Mike's new girlfriend. I can't believe I remember this and I don't play horror games.
I know, I love the way you're the one who's
the
like...
The two sisters?
Exciting. Yeah.
I don't like horror games, but actually, here's one, every character.
There's one more.
Oh, no.
I know. But I remember watching like 8 or 9 different Let's Plays of it because I didn't realize after watching it the first time that there was like different endings. Mm-hmm. And then I read about it and found out there's different endings. And I was like, oh, now I kind of want to watch more and see what else happens. Like, I want to see if there's other options. I realized it was more like a Telltale game where it's like you can kind of pick your ending.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess. But like, there's so much like luck involved as well. Like, because there's moments when you just like have to hide, right? But you could like hide in the spot that, you know, the person might like actually end up looking.
Yeah.
But it's just, it was like the first time I'd watched something that was just like, yeah, it's kind of like you were saying, Peter, about like being like a horror film, but you're like the center of the action. It's just like, I don't know. And it, like the graphics are surreal, right? Like they're just so good. And you're literally like in the action. And then like that feature of the like the controller that you have to keep it like perfectly still.
I was going to say,
or like if you shake it
across the arm, because the one that
like,
I watched,
oh my
the couple watched weren't VR, the motion controls. And the example I thought you were going to give, and I put spoilers in every single episode, but there's a part, I'll just say it's a part where Jess has to stand still behind the wooden partition in the wall, and you have to keep that still, otherwise she's gonna get caught.
And I remember watching
that like on the edge of my seat, like, do not touch your controller, put that down on the table, like keep that still.
No, it's just like, oh my god, it's, I just like, I'm just in awe of it. Like, it's just so well done. And like, there's so many, kind of versions. Like, the aim, obviously, is so that, like, no one dies.
It's never going to happen.
But, like, I just... That's so hard. Like, I don't know how... Yeah, like, it's... Yeah, I think, like, my friend who was playing it, I think he ended up, like... Yeah, two died. Because it was just, like, I think, the killer like found, I think it was actually
probably.
Yeah, and then like you like decided to jump down one ledge and then you actually like broke your leg and it, like then you couldn't walk. And it's just like, it really blew my mind because, I wasn't, I don't know too much about like a lot of horror games, but that just really opened my eyes to like, wow, so this is like... I think like, it really kind of shows off like video games as a medium in a way of like storytelling because it's just like a complete different way to engage with like scary stories. But yeah, it was like so much fun to watch because I was like, I have none of the responsibility here and like all of the fun. I think it's an incredible game. But I hear that there's a VR version. Keith.
Wow.
Maybe you'd like to share us.
Why, yes, there is. I wonder how you knew about that. Yeah, so there is a VR spin-off to that called, I think it's called Rush of Blood. And it's completely different in style to the actual game. So the actual game sort of, like you were saying, is sort of, it puts you into like a B movie, horror movie thing, you know?
Definitely.
Sorry, when you said B movie, I just thought like the B movie, and I was like, that is...
You like jazz and horror. You like spooky like jazz?
You're going to put up an image of like the B movie. Lisa the editor.
But that game, it's sort of, it's made up, so it's like one of the, it's basically like a ghost ride at like a fun fair or something, and you have a gun and you use it to shoot at the bad things that come up at you. And it was one of the first games I got for the VR, because like I was a fiver and I was like, okay, you know what, let's get a VR, let's get a horror game just to see what it's going to be like, basically. And to get up to the main menu and that, it sort of has a big whole cinematic with like scary things happening all around you, you know. So like you start off, there's a creepy man in front of you, he walks off, you go forward a wee bit and then like to a room, there's noises happening all around you, to a room off to the side here, like, you know, the two sisters that die in the prologue to the main game.
Yeah,
they're there and they're being like, you know, the Shining twins just being creepy. And then over here, while you're looking over, you know, the opposite direction, you hear a noise. You look around here and some like the Wendigo things just jump at you. And back whenever I was playing this, how my sort of setup was, I had like this office chair type thing that just sort of sat in the middle of the room. I was like the right sort of distance to not be too far away, and also meant I could sort of like rotate around and stuff. Yep. So there were no handles on that, and I ended up on the floor screaming for mother. So that was a good first impression of the game.
Yeah.
So it's completely different. It's like,
it doesn't really have a story even. It's literally just made to show off VR, I think. Like, it's sort of, the kind of implied story is that it's all happening in Rami Malek's head. I don't know his character, so I'm just going to say it's all in his head.
So I'm now thinking back to the actual game and thinking, remember there's a sections where it goes into the, like, scenes with his therapist. I'm now thinking it's like an extension of that.
It could be, yeah. Because like the therapist guy is like the creepy man who walks around and sort of talks to you between levels and stuff. So I think it's sort of like, it's meant to be like during those therapist levels, but also up in his old wee noggin.
Okay.
But yeah, that was great. Like sort of as sort of, great as an intro to it, or an intro to sort of VR horror, but it's not one I would sort of go back and play.
Yeah.
It's one I would sort of, if I wanted to scare people, I would sort of get it downloaded and put them on it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
oh my god,
going on to sort of Pete's Dead Space, the very big old suspense in space, is a game I'm currently playing through at the minute.
Ooh, topical.
Yeah, as of recording and as of probably this one going out, PS5 comes out in just under or just over a month, depending on when you're hearing this.
Yes.
Ooh, probably just under, yeah. And so I'm sort of going through the old favourites, basically, and like games that I maybe haven't played for a while and want to give another go before old Betsy gets shot in the
Migrating
field.
Migrating to... I wasn't gonna put it
very
like
close
that,
to that pick.
Fair. That's yeah. Wow. Okay. See you
but
later.
The game that I'm currently playing through, which is possibly my favorite horror game ever, is Alien Isolation.
Yeah.
It's just so good, and like I've only seen the first two Alien movies because I've basically heard the rest of them don't exist. We don't acknowledge them.
Yeah.
It's only the first two.
Like, no.
One and two are grand. The rest, just get them.
But this game sort of, it takes very heavily from the first one, where it's just essentially the one person and the one alien.
Okay.
And it's the type of thing,
I suppose, isolated with an alien.
Ah. It's foreshadowed
the clue
in,
is in the
title. But it's like, it's a type of thing, the suspense goes from the very beginning and just keeps on ramping up, and then whenever the alien actually appears, you're talking, you're like maybe 2-2.5 hours into it,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, crazy. Like this is the main selling point of the game, and we haven't seen it until this time, you know. But
wow,
like this just again, like going with Pete with the whole suspense in space, it is one of the most suspenseful games ever, in my opinion. Because once the alien's introduced to the game, you're never safe from it. You know, like you might be in the middle of like an encounter with like actual just normal humans, but if you make too much noise, that alien's gonna come at you and just stab you with its tail or its mouth thing that it has. But yeah, it is absolutely terrifying, and it's gonna take me a while to get finishing it because I can only play it in short like bursts before I just have a wee freak out and cry to myself alone in my room. The alien's gonna get me. Anyway, that's what I have to say about the genre that is known as horror.
That's kind of like how in Signs, like, yeah, you don't see the aliens until, mm-hmm. like, yeah, probably an hour in.
Yeah.
Like, it's ages until you see the actual aliens.
Yeah, it was like that in Predator as well, the very first Predator. You don't see the creature to the very end, you know, and that's the way to keep you... Mm-hmm. keep you hooked and keep you addicted to the story, because I'm sure in that alien game, you know, if it would have showed up in the first 5 minutes, you would have just got used to it, but it's got you addicted to it, so you can't, you know, you can't back off.
See, here's where I start questioning whether I'm ever going to change my stance and play a horror game, because you're not making it sound appealing, you're making it sound like stress. And I don't need any more stress.
Oh no, it is very stress.
But it is, it's complete stress. It's almost putting you in the position, you know what I mean, of the person getting killed.
Yeah, and I know people like the adrenaline rush of that, but it just is, to me, I'm like, I get a high enough adrenaline rush playing Zelda. I don't need to worry about that down the line. Like, we actually, for the course I did a while ago, it was about... watching horror movies and talking about how the horror genre in that regard had changed. And I was like, right, which of these on the syllabus is probably going to be the easiest one for me to watch? So I chose Carrie. So it was like, you had to look at the first Carrie and the new one and compare them. I watched them at 12 o'clock in the day with all the lights on and loads of other sound on. Because like, I need to distract myself from the fact that this crowd going to freak me out. Turns out that movie isn't actually that scary. It's just kind of freaky. But I really did think to myself, I was like, why did this have to be something I have to do for a grade?
But you do enjoy, like, dark kind of themed games.
Yeah, I prefer, maybe not horror. I like things genre. That kind of challenge you and sort of toe the line. I think Pete knocked it on the head by saying gothic genre, where it's more a gothic idea rather than horror. One of the ones I'm going to bring up now, which is kind of more a suspense game, and I don't know if a lot of people have heard of this, but it's called Gone Home.
Yes,
I think there's a VR version of this coming out, but I'm not sure. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it. I spoil everything, so I'm gonna try not spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it. The only way I can describe it is it makes you think that something is going to happen. And it flips the entirety of it on its head. We actually, ages ago, when my brother and I were doing Let's Plays, we recorded it. He'd already played through it. And he was like, I'm going to get her to record it. And I'll tell her. It's not like it's spoopy game, not spooky. It's spoopy. He was like, it's a little bit of a spoopy game. And you'll maybe get a little bit uneasy, a little bit of tension. And I was like, oh God, this is not going to be good. There's going to be jump scares. And every time I opened a door, it was like, open the door, back away. it was one of the hardest things for anybody to watch. But I'm sure it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it just has such a nice resolution. The actual story wraps itself up in such a nice way. And I was like, I wasn't expecting this. Like, you've taken a horror genre and done something with it. Or maybe not horror, but like thriller, and done something nobody expected you to do. You've just completely twisted it. And there's so little actual action
in it. I love when genres just get like turned on its head like that. I love that so much. Yeah.
The thing with Gone Home is that I think for somebody who maybe is nervous about horror games, it's actually quite a nice entry because of the way it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you think of a game, again, going back to the Gothic comment, like Dark Souls, maybe not the best one to go for, because Dark Souls is just a little bit more intense and a little bit freaky at times. Again, we tried to start a Let's Play that a long time ago. And you know, this isn't really a spoiler because it happens at the start of the game. You know, if you play Dark Souls coming through, you meet the guy who gives you the key to get out of the jail. Well, I nearly walked by him and was going up the hill, up this set of stairs, like, I'm going to go outside. And my brother was like, no, you have to go back. There's a guy in there. You got to go talk to him. And it's like, right, okay. So got the boulder to roll down and break into that room and went in to chat them. But I had gone far enough up that the other hollows were starting to come after me. And it's not like in-game, like, it's real-time talking. So while I was talking to this guy, these guys were trying to, like, kill me. And I was like, oh my god, no, I started swinging. So this guy was trying to be really nice and give me a key. I was swinging and screaming, and I accidentally killed the guy. And my brother went, oh my god, you just killed the only nice guy in the game. Like, the only guy who's going to be your friend in the entirety of the game. And I was sitting
we just went,
we need to stop. This is the only series we're ever going to have to stop and start again. Because we can't kill the only nice guy in the game. But I was so freaked out and ready for something to jump out at me that as soon as I was being attacked, it was like, oh my god, I was throwing swords around. I was having a panic attack. But I think the other thing with Dark Souls is it kind of takes that idea. Like, obviously, if anybody's seen the Take On Me meme of Dark Souls, which I think everybody's seen at this time, the praise the sun and he's dancing, and there's the giant raven. I know, I'll cut to it now. But that giant raven, it's obviously like we know the symbols of what a raven is and the signs of, you see a raven, there's negative connotations, it's that kind of idea. The fact that that's like such a crucial part of the game is this giant raven picking you up and flying you down to Lordran. It's like, okay, you're in for some shit. Like, I haven't actually played an awful lot more of it, but I know there's a lot of lore that goes into that. But a game I have played a lot of, along a darker vein, not to immediately be the person to bring it back to Zelda, because it's either myself or Robert who does that, is Majora's Mask. And I think everybody knew that's where I was going with that.
Oh, such a
that game
amazing
is
game.
Maybe one of my favorite Zeldas. And I would have said years ago it wasn't, because I was like, I don't like it, I don't understand it, I don't know what's going on. See, playing it now, you get an appreciation for what they tried to do with that. And I'm really, like, I would be near tempted to say I actually prefer it to... I'm going to get so much
hate. Ocarina of Time.
Yep, thank you for saying it for me.
I'd agree. Like, I think because it's just so different and it just went in such a different direction.
Yeah, it's like there's so many theories around it. Like, obviously there's a theory that Link's dead and there's all that sort of theory that goes around. I don't know if I quite followed that one, because I've kind of seen theories about the Elegy of Emptiness. And how it's not that, like, he has no soul, that it's playing this real creepy face. It's that by the time you get to there, what it's actually dealing with is the 5 stages of grief. Because if you think
about... I've seen that.
Yeah, it's like one of the big theories. By the time you get to Akana Valley, you've got to the 4th stage of acceptance. And then once you get to the Elegy of Emptiness, it's moving on. So it's like leaving this figure with this kind of awkward expression and not all that happy to be there. It's leaving that behind and moving on to the next stage. And I think that's such a nice way to view that game. But I also think it makes the Skull Kid or Majora so much more interesting and so much creepier.
Yeah.
It sounds like it has a real psychological dimension to it. I mean, I like the idea of games as therapy. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to use the game as a metaphor for working through something, and in a way you're processing things by doing, you know, whatever you're doing. I remember I seen a documentary on what do you call that game, Oddworld or something. But this man lost his wife, and he played that game from start to finish, and he contacted the game makers just to say, hello, I lost my wife of whatever number of years, but I had to play this game, and this game helped me come to terms with, you know, the passing of his wife. And so I think there can be like a wee subconscious, subliminal message there, which is nice to know that games can do that. It can help you sort of process things. Maybe in a different way.
Particularly with Majora's Mask, I think maybe that's one of the reasons why as a kid I didn't understand it, because maybe it was trying to sort of explain it through that kind of medium. But I saw a really good video quite a while ago, but I found it again recently, and it was actually on Ocarina of Time, and by Jared Steffett, I think is his name, but the channel it's on is called Good Blood. And he did a video on Ocarina of Time, and he talked about Zelda having this language of sorrow.
Mm.
And it's like, they always talk about easing my regrets, dealing with my sorrow and stuff, all these NPCs and characters going around, but Ocarina of Time doesn't. But when you actually look into it, it follows this Japanese ideal of Shintoism. And it talks about, like, obviously it's not directly talking about sorrow and loss, but it sort of reflects the passage of time and how that affects you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a loss of childhood, because obviously she says at the end of the game, go back and take your lost time. But Link can't go back to the Kokiri Forest because Navi leaves him. So that she was the protection for him going between the childhood and the adult world. So when she leaves, he actually can't go back to the forest and have his childhood.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it's set up really well from the previous game, I think.
Yeah,
that's
but
a
you
huge...
wouldn't know that if unless I'd watched that video. And I really want him to make one now on Majora's Mask, because I think it was a collective of them. They explained it so well and made so much sense that I was like, this
I love watching those kind of like videos on like,
I know,
like, yeah, analyzing deep into the lore of a game.
He does so many of them because I think he's planning to do them, but he only releases one like every year. And he called it the Hyrule Journal. So I was like, oh, there's going to be another one somewhere. But he also did one on the symbolism of the music in Harry Potter. There's a few others. Like, there's a couple of really brilliant videos that he's done. But that Ocarina of Time one just blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, Ocarina of Time is actually a really freaky game too when you sit down and think about it. Like, it's like, how do you find a game that isn't horror and make it horror? And in a way, they've kind of touched on that.
And like, I think as well, like, I think that is what video games can do differently as well from films, right? Like how...
Yeah.
Because like you're... like the avatar in the game, you know, like it's like you're getting this like simulation of actually like living in this world, or like, you know, kind of like experiencing this kind of scenario. So I think that does have...
We did that at Halloween.
Yes. Oh, that was a brilliant piece.
And I really regret we haven't done that again. You know, it was a great wee number, and that was the only time we did it. And it was a fantastic game for it, you know, up in the gallery.
Yeah, that was the one, like, we had the big moon as well in the hole. So that was, like, a big reason why we had that. But yeah.
That was so good.
The music from Majora's Mask is, like, it's environmental in how it works, but it's honestly such a great, like, it suits that game so well.
I thought it had a real traditional feel to it as well. Or, you know, there's just a great energy to it. You know, so hopefully we can bring that back, you know, whenever we do go back.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was a good one.
Can I say the worst horror game I've ever played? And it,
oh, yes, please.
It was so bad. I always raid the charity shops for, like, whatever DVDs and everything they've got. And I seen they had some PlayStation 3 games. And so they had Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare.
That's a horror game.
Yes, it is. It's like cowboys and Indians, but they're all zombies. Oh my God, it was just awful. It was just even the controls of it. Like, if you try to shoot, you end up crouching, and then the zombies run like maniacs, and it's like you're meant to be really slow and cumbersome. They just chasing after me like sprinters. And so, no, I just thought, to hell with that. It's going back to the charity shop. Some other sucker comes back.
Isn't there a game like that? Sorry, just as a little additional note. Isn't there a game like that? No, I don't think it's... Maybe it's still being worked on, but I remember seeing it in kind of alpha, beta stages. 7 Days to Die, where during the day the zombies are really slow, but at night they get really, really fast. And then on the seventh day there's a blood moon and they're like terrors.
Ooh. The name's familiar. I'd never heard. Like, I didn't know anything about the game. I'd know the name, but like that is, I like the sound of that. I'm going to be looking out for that.
It's basically like Minecraft, but like more realistic and zombies.
Yeah,
it's like apocalypse. Ooh. Minecraft.
And what do you call the horror game where you get to play as all of the famous characters?
Dead by Daylight.
Is that Dead by Daylight? Yes, because my friend James told me about that and he told me you have to get it. And I said,
it's actually a lot of fun.
But the thing is, see the guys that does Freddy? It's not Robert Englund, so I don't want to know. So that's just lost it for me. So your man, Zachy Arden Haley, I just thought he was a terrible Freddy. And so I wouldn't want to play Freddy.
Oh, here. Sorry, this is completely off point, but speaking of voice actors who do creepy voices, and I didn't actually realise, I sort of knew, but I didn't realise who it was, the Batman Arkham series.
I know what you're going to say.
Obviously, it has Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill and all those ones.
Oh,
Arkham Origins wasn't done by the original voice actors. It wasn't done by the original company. I think it was Warner Brothers Montreal who did that one.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy to come in. I didn't realize it wasn't Mark Hamill. I was, part of me was like, something's weird about his voice. It turns out it's Troy Baker.
Yeah.
And it is almost spot on perfect. Its voice is so good. I was like, I can't get over this. And then I found out that Nolan North was Penguin and I was like, I'm sold.
I don't know any of those guys. At the point of, I am playing that game online. I am actually playing that at the minute, the Batman Arkham Origins.
Yes.
Speaking of
it's
dark
brilliant.
Series, that is a dark series. Mm-hmm. It handles a lot of really serious,
it's very
dark
grim.
Topics.
It's got a lot. Yeah, I think it's got those messages about the urban crime and how it's all very gritty and dark. And there's always a really important message in that. Like, that is like a gothic detective novel almost. You know.
Have you played any of the other Arkham games?
I have. I got the first one, the Arkham Asylum. And then there's the second one, and then the one the Catwoman was in. I specifically wanted it for Catwoman.
Arkham City.
And
yep.
So I do really enjoy them. I think it's a really smooth gameplay, but also I love any game that has an environment that you can just say, no, I'm not going to do what I meant to do. I'm just going to go and do my own thing, explore. And it has that.
Is that maybe kind of a? It's kind of one of the staple things of horror games where it's like, you don't have to do it the linear way. Mm-hmm. You can find another way to survive, as you said before.
Mm. And that's where you can explore. But I think that's a good opportunity as well to really appreciate everything that goes into the formation of these games. Like, whenever I'm playing Dead Space, and I will just look around, but the layout, the design, you know, even the view of space, you know, the design of the architecture of the ship, it's all really mind-blowing. It just gives you an indication of how much work goes into these things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a wee point.
Okay,
the horror genre. And whenever you look at all the different mediums of horror, and with horror novels and horror fiction, they were always meant to work as cautionary tales. They were always meant to function as, like, a warning. And that's where you were saying, Lisa, there was a nice ending to that one you played. Normally there is a very nice ending and things are tied up nicely and you're meant to have learned the message of how things are meant to be.
Okay.
And it's similar to that in horror films. You know, in horror films, you normally have a fractured family and the boogeyman is able to come in and things are only resolved at the end when the boy saves the girl, they're the building blocks for the nuclear family and everything's fine again. Whenever you go into horror games, that doesn't apply anymore. It's not really cautionary. People are actually wanting to do the slashers. They want to be the villain. They don't really want it to, you know, things to wrap up well. And I just think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting twist on the genre because I think, especially with video games, you can contribute and you can affect the outcome. But with film and novels and fiction, you're the receiver. You're in receipt.
Yeah,
you're passive.
But I think
it's
really interesting that certainly with horror, it's not being seen as a cautionary tale. It's almost like you're wanting to go out and cause the damage yourself, you know? So it's a good outlet, though.
Maybe that's why I don't enjoy them, because I really don't. And like, I'm like, I don't want to confront anybody. I just want to be friends. and the only people I want to do bad things to are bad people. So, sorry, but I can appreciate that from that level.
Well, I did study a lot of like horror fiction and all that in university. Yeah. So I always did enjoy anything that had sort of that dark edge, you know.
Yeah, it is interesting, like you say, that people want to put themselves in that like situation, whether it's the adrenaline rush or like, yeah, work it as a medium to work through kind of different like emotions or experiences that, you know, maybe there's not many effective ways to deal with. So it's definitely an interesting genre.
Best genre.
It is, yeah.
It must be, because we talked for what, an hour and 15 minutes about it? Yeah. Sorry, Adam.
Yeah.
I didn't realise how much I enjoyed it. Like, I had that realisation as I was talking about it, like, oh, flip, I actually really enjoy these lots.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'd like, yeah, I really enjoy watching that kind of gameplay as well. Like, it makes me want to look up some of the games you guys have been talking about and just like watch some gameplay. Yeah. But yeah, thank you everyone so much for joining us. A very happy Halloween to you all.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yes, we're going to finish off like this again.
Absolutely.
It had to end this way.
Oh, absolutely. I can't breathe in here.
Thank you, one and all. Goodbye. Bye. Happy Halloween.
Bye. Bye.